The recordings have already started.
Thank you very much, Oliver. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the MPOC XCOM meeting on Friday, 18th of September, 2015. On the call today, we have Rudy Van Znik, John Carr, Martin Silva-Valens, Olivia Kwame, Klaus Stoll. And from staff, we have myself, Mariam Bakoshi. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Over to you, Rudy.
Thank you very much, Mariam, Rudy, for the transcript. Welcome to all on this XCOM call. We have some quite important points to handle. I would like to start with the first one being the evaluation of the elections of MCAG on process and results. I think we all know that there has been a glitch during the ballot period where technically something went wrong, and we then saw that there were already results published, which I think is not a fair way of doing things. But anyway, it happened, and we cannot turn back again. Regards the results, I have to say that I'm quite happy with the outcome of the NCSD chair election. I had a few exchanges with Tapani before the election started, and even during the elections and before the results were known. There are opportunities for MPOC now to raise a lot of points that we wanted to track and to get solutions for. By this, I would like to propose to that the MPOC XCOM would send a specific mail congratulating the Tapani for being elected as the chair of NCSD, and of course congratulating the councillors that have been elected, although they didn't have any opposition. But that at the end, MPOC will be seen as collaborative and congratulating the participants. Can we agree on this approach, or has somebody some comments?
Totally agree on it. Martin Schindler for the transcript.
Yes, I also agree. I already wrote him a private congratulation message, and there's already, as you might have noticed, some conversation with him going on with regard to the Westlake report and other things.
I also agree, John, for the record, that an official congratulations come from the question is who's going to write it, right?
What I would propose is that I think I have something available that I will drop on the mailing list after this call, and then we see if the text is okay, we can all agree on, then we send it out signed by all the members of the XCOM with all the names below it, so that it's a clear message coming from the whole XCOM group. Just to illustrate again that MPOC is not just one person or just a few individuals. It's a community that is reacting.
Rudy, do you allow me to drive into the parade?
Yep, yep.
Rudy, I've got a slight problem here. If we leave it by that, it looks like that all our concerns with regard to election, meaning member election lists, membership lists, technical faults, and so on, don't exist. And I really don't know what the answer is, because on the one side, we have to raise these issues, and we have to make them clear, because otherwise this will happen at the next election again. On the other hand, I don't want to be NPOC being the spoiler and the one who complains all the time. So I'm very much torn on these 2 points.
Thank you, Klaus, really for the transcript. I was considering that another point of action. The one is congratulating and demonstrating fairness in the process of recognizing the new leaders. At the other side, and that's already listed in the NCSG Executive Committee meeting that we are asking for discussion on the issues membership and elections, that was already announced in our previous communication. But I agree, we need to highlight it again, but maybe we should wait till Tapani is officially seated, so that he will be receptive for this message, while if we send it now, most probably that will not be receptive for the actual chair. Do you agree, Klaus?
I agree with you. I think that's a good plan. Only one observation. The NCSG Executive Committee is taking place at a date and a time when I'm approximately 500 miles away from London in the air.
Yeah, I've seen that. Okay, I see, John, you raised your hand. You have the floor.
Yes, John, for the record, I agree that it's a two-step process, that we should send an official congratulations and maybe attached to that say that, you know, we would like to meet with him to discuss on our issues and solutions. So it's a two-part thing. I think that they both can be achieved. So I agree with you, Rudy, that you know, they're separate, and I agree with Klaus that we need to address it. But I think that an official congratulations is in place. It should be done. It just shows that, you know, we are trying to work with the new NCSG committee.
Thank you, John, Rudy, for the transcript. Well, the official congratulation message is something that will be sent on the NCSG discuss list, so it will be public for everybody. And in that sense, I would avoid to drop on the issue of the issues in the elections and so on in the same message. I would separate that and put it to Tapani maybe as a personal communication as the NPOC chair to the new NCSG chair and see how we handle that one. To avoid that a lot of people are going to jump on it and influence Tapani before he has a chance to talk to us about that. Okay, with that, I would like to close this point of the agenda, except if somebody wants to raise another point of discussion on this.
Sorry, Rudy, I really feel like the spoiler today, but just because we've got Mariam on the call, Mariam, could you explain to us, just that we get this out of the way, what was the technical glitch at the beginning of the election so that we could see the first votes? Was that purely technical, or was that just somebody pushed the wrong button? What happened there?
Thank you, Klaus. Mariam, for the transcript. I don't really know so much about that because the GNSO secretariat deals with that. But from my understanding, it was a technical problem, like a glitch in the system. So the moment they were able to rectify that, they sent out new votes. So that's really okay. All I know about that. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mariam, Rudy, for the transcript. By the way, I know this mechanism that is used, and I have used that in other elections also. And I know that sometimes something goes wrong because you have just misconfigured one of the parameters of the system, and then it starts sending out messages with different goals. It's something that I think for the future even, and based on how we want to weight the votes because that's one of the issues that I think we need to discuss also in the future, is on the weight of votes. We don't see the weight of votes while I would like to see them, and it is easy to get them, as I know it from the ISOC elections. We have the weights of the individual groups so that we don't see who voted, but we can see the weight of the votes as we have in our elections, three groups, individual with one vote, small organizations two votes, and the large one with four votes. I would like to see how many four vote ballots have been really used in order to see how the repartition is. But that's for, I think, later discussion. Right, so I would like to move on to the next point on the agenda, the plans for the meetings in Dublin. The first one is the Constituency Day meeting, on which we have already Fadi Shahadi, that will spend between 30 and 45 minutes with us. So it would be good if we could already prepare two or maximum three questions or issues that we want to discuss with him, so that we can send them to him and that he is prepared and that it is not something completely new that he has to figure out how to answer. Do we agree on this approach, to provide three questions or three topics we want to discuss with him? Anybody, any ideas?
Klaus, for the record, I think it is very good to talk to him about the civil society outreach initiative of ICANN, because at that time we will be having meetings, having had discussed it, we are already discussing it, and this is such a central issue, and in a way a positive issue, not something which is problematic but constructive, so we should talk about this one. And then the second topic, which is more problematic, but I think it's also very important, that we point out to Fadi the different roles of NPOC and NCUC, so that he understands that that at the bottom of all the problems between NCUC and NPOC and the NGSG is basically the different role, and that two incompatible organizations have been put into one stakeholder group. And I think that should be, we should discuss it with him in order just to make the point. But all, again, do it in a constructive way and say, we see that as a way forward, as a solution, and we would like to inform you about our thinking. Thank you.
Thank you, Klaus, Rudy, for the transcript. Yes, indeed, that's something that I had also in mind. Clearly specify what the role, but also what the mission and objectives of NPOC are. And I would even not talk about NCUC. I would just say, this is our role in the non-commercial stakeholder group, and avoid having the discussion NCUC itself, because that's quite often an issue where you're pushing Fadi in that case in a position where he should join us, and that's not what I want to hear from him immediately. I would rather prefer to see that he agrees on our role and our mission. And indeed, for the civil society outreach, I think we have a lot of things we can communicate to him, but also ask his perception of how he sees the outreach to civil society in ICANN is going on. Also putting the question. I see John's hand raised. John, you have the floor.
So, yes, I agree. One of the questions that we could ask him, it's a constituency day, so I think we should focus on MPOC, what we do, what we're trying to achieve, and then ask him, how can ICANN and staff best support our initiatives for us to be effective?
so that he tells us what they can do and how they can do it.
Thank you, Joan. So I'm noting that, in fact, what we try to get from him is how ICANN would support what we are doing in activities as well as in outreach, so that we have both of the issues on the table. It goes in line with our mission itself and with what we need from outreach.
With all due respect, I think I can tell you immediately what will be the answer of Fadi to that question about staff support and so on. He will follow, and he has to follow, the line of FJ16, and already the discussions which are going on about FJ17. And that doesn't help us any further, because this is a discussion we had in Buenos Aires with Bernadetta and Robert. Basically, what we have to tell him is we appreciate all the stuff which ICANN is trying to make us making available as support to us. And you're trying to do a hell of a lot of things like CROP, like the community request, FJ16 and things like that. But in fact, none of them are effective in working. And for that reasons, and we propose the following alternatives.
Thank you, Klaus, Rudy, for the transcript. Well, I expect that he will indeed point to fiscal year 16 budget and definitions, but I think he will also point us to the people that we know, and that would be something that I would really like to hear, because I think we have to point out that how ICANN is rolling out the outreach to the civil society is not the good one, and that's the reason why it fails. It's accentuated to the spirit of one or two persons, and they are not listening to what is put on the table. Our last action, and I'm bridging here with the event to the NGOs that we scheduled to do, we proposed something and really addresses our community, and the outreach responsible person is changing or was changing the goal and the definition of that event. And that's something that I think is quite important. We need to make now strong points, strong positioning, saying, look, you try to get the civil society engaged. For several years, it didn't work. This is one of the reasons why it doesn't work. Listen to the community instead of saying to the community how to do. I think that's one of the strong messages that we need to send, so that they stop doing as they do today. Klaus, do you agree on this? And then I will give the floor to John.
Yes, of course, but we have to make sure that we get this message through.
Of course, but it's up to us. We are steering the discussion, so we can push him in that direction. Rather than having the discussions about the budget, I don't want to talk about budget in that discussion. I want to talk about...
No, don't have to. But about the basic functions, why the NPOC outreach, why the ICANN outreach doesn't work.
Yep. Okay. John, you have the floor?
Yes, it's John for the record. I think what we need to do is to tell them. I agree with you, by the way, that we don't touch the budget. First of all, we touch on how ICANN can help MPOC do its job, its function within an ecosystem. That you know, we're supposed to be the voice of the not-for-profit. And with ICANN going out and doing implementing their strategy does not help us do what we do. And that's what we need from them. We need their support in helping us outreach to not-for-profits. And they're coming in and
promoting what ICANN does, but that's our job as well because it's innate in what we do anyway. So it deters us from doing what we do, and it's not a good thing for what they do. So it, in effect, everybody loses is really what it ends up being. So I think that's what we have to do is show how they can support us in helping them do what they do.
Thank you, John.
It's Klaus again. John, I think the words of the phrase how ICANN can help us is very misleading and dangerous. We are a bottom-up stakeholder organization, and it is us who tells ICANN how we expect them to support us. And in order to support ICANN, as more they let us do our job, as stronger ICANN becomes. And this is the point, and that goes back down now to everything which is happening, even in the IANA transition. It is not ICANN who drives the boat, it is a community that drives the boat, and the staff has a support function.
Right. Okay, so there's our issue right there then. That's what it takes. That's what we're there for in our meeting, to tell them what we're about and how we're effective. So, we're trying to identify what we do. So there, you have the answer, and I'm in agreement. We tell them this is what we do. Then,
thank you, Klaus, and thank you, John. And I'm trying to resume it in one argumentation that I would see as the activities that ICANN is doing in outreach to civil society is conflicting with the way NPOC wants to do outreach to civil society and pushes back on the participation of civil society in ICANN. Is that correct phrasing?
This is actually very true, because just in the last 2 days I had two experiences where organizations who wanted to be active in Pathfinder and in NPOC said we don't want to do that in the end because you are too close to ICANN.
Correct, Klaus, Rudy, for the transcript. By the way, Martin, what is your point of view? I would like to hear your voice too, as you're on the audio too.
So far, I literally agree with what Klaus says regarding the phrasing and the way we say this. I also remember Sam was really eager to put this in words. What can we do? We don't have to ask ICANN to do something for us. We have to tell them we need this. And that's the executive way I think that Fabi thinks as a businessman. If we go to him and we tell him we need this, you will get a much better answer than telling him we need help. We don't know what, but we need help. I don't know, maybe we could, if we just have an idea, we have to draft some sort of plan or some sort of idea that we can propose to him. So it's just not words instead of a meeting.
Thank you, Martin.
I'm talking too much, but let me give you a different example yesterday. Yeah. Yesterday I talked to Adam Peake in Tokyo for a long, long time. And Adam completely agrees with us in saying we need outreach events based done by NPOC Geneva, in New York, and things like that. And this is something which needs to happen, and this is something which has to happen in the staff with the IANA transition. At the same time, Adam doesn't have a single budget to do something like that. He only got budget to send himself or other people or ICANN people or ICANN staff to New York, to Geneva, and do these events. But they haven't got any amount for the outsiders and or for their own constituency or people to actually do these things for them. So you have that position quite often, ICANN staff, that they know what they would like to do, but their budget or their programs doesn't allow them to do.
Thank you, Klaus. I see, Martin, you have your hand raised. You have the floor.
Yes. Is it wise or would it help to try to explain the necessity of having MPOC outreach regarding the IANA transition?
Absolutely. We Sandy already agreed.
Of the art now is support to have a transpanyana transition. We need this to do the transition. This is not something about MPOC's plan or development. This is about ICANN fulfilling the IANA transition. And regarding to that, we need this outreach. We need these NGOs. This is something that should bring to the deepest part of the brain of FADI when it says it. Maybe it's too aggressive. I don't know about what's your opinion.
Martin, you are absolutely right. And even ICANN agrees with it. Even Strickling said ICANN needs now to run the proposals by civil society. But the only way ICANN can do it is send ICANN staff to civil society events and somebody holds a speech. They don't, what they want to do and what they need to do is to have consultations, to get in advice, to get in reactions and things like that from civil society to the proposals from the IANA transition. They need to do that, they want to do that, but they don't have the budget for that. They only got the budget for that top-down outreach, go to a conference, tell them what happened, and go home and nothing will happen. That is a problem.
Thank you, Klaus.
And then what kind of...
Yes, go ahead, Martin.
Oh, this is a budget problem, but the truth is that maybe we don't need the direct budget of ICANN to use. What we need is a partnership that ICANN can bring to us. I don't know if I make myself clear. You want the pitch.
Well, if I may, trying to conclude on this issue. The budget issue is something that I would not discuss with FADI because then he will send us to say, okay, let's see and what do you need and so on. That's not what I want. I want from him, hearing from him, a confirmation that the way ICANN is addressing the whole NGO community is wrong and that MPOC needs to have the chance to stand up and do it. By the way, when you say, Klaus, that Adam Peake only has budget to go out for himself, but that's on purpose also to avoid that we are going out. And that's one of the issues where I say there is a conflict between the way ICANN is doing outreach for NGOs and the way we want to get it done. And on top, in ICANN, and quite strongly convinced that it's not an error, a mistake, nobody in ICANN actually can talk to an NGO. That's one of the big issues. They talk about business approaches, as Olivier was also posting in the chat room. We have to business to NGOs. They don't like that approach. And that's where it has to start.
Sorry, I've got all your problems.
Yeah. Are we here? Yeah. I think you're moving somewhere. Coming back to the agenda, I think we have a strong, three strong messages that we want to bring to FADI, so that he can be prepared for that discussion too. The other point is I would like to invite somebody from the board, two people from the board, to have some discussions. Although there was this question about having a separate meeting, public meeting, between ICANN board and POP. And that's still the question on the table. Are we willing to do that? This is what we really want to obtain? Or do we try to have the meeting with a few board members inside their constituency day? That's a question I would like to get answers for today, so that we can decide if we move forward in the direction of inviting board members or requesting the meeting, the separate meeting with the board. Sam, by the way, welcome in this call.
Thank you, Rudy.
So, it took a while to get... Who wants to answer?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you very well.
Okay,
Rudy,
thank you.
Answer to your question, I would strongly opt for having a separate board meeting between NPOC and the whole of the board. That would help us in many directions, including the separation of constituencies and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next one, Sam.
We would have to prepare our briefs very carefully in advance.
That's clear, Sam. Yep, right.
That's the conclusion. I first want to know if everybody is aligned with the approach of having a separate meeting with the ICANN full board and NPOC that takes place at the end of the constituency day. So Klaus says yes. Sam, I thought you are also agreeing on this.
Yes.
Martin? Martin, do you agree also?
Yes, I agree. I think that speaking towards the board is much more meaningful than just dragging a few of them with us in a more almost individual opinion.
Okay. Very well. John?
Sorry, I
haven't heard it. There's a lot of noise going on.
Okay, John, can you mute your mic?
Yeah.
John, is there a snowstorm in Toronto?
So, Olivier, I would like to see your position on the chat, but so far I think everybody is agreeing that we want that separate meeting. But that means that we need that I need tomorrow to work out a request to the board, to Steve Crocker and the board, asking for a separate meeting that has to be scheduled in there. Schedule, first of all. Secondly,
hello, Olivia Hassan again. My phone.
Okay, fine. Thank you, Olivier.
Okay, thank you.
So we need to prepare this, as everybody is well aware of, that we need to then be really professional, as we are going to be in the big room, the big public. A lot of people will look to us and... that's our chance to raise again the discussion that we will have with Fadi. It would help us also understanding how the board would react. And in that way, it would help us in preparing our strategy of how to tackling the issues. One thing that I would really appreciate when we are going to have this type of meeting with the ICANN board is that we try to be as positive as possible in order to make the big difference between us and the others. So, okay, preparation for Dublin, because that's the item on the agenda we were working on. I have that action also on the list. It's something I will try to do tomorrow. We have also outreach activities inside our NGO event, where we are going to have the discussion next week, Klaus, if I'm not wrong.
Rudy, I'm completely confused, because there seems to be a big up between the general discussion of the outreach document, which happens on the on the 30th of September at 12 o'clock UTC, and we need a specific other discussion about the Dublin event, which happens on Monday in Dublin at 1400 hours, and I haven't seen any confirmation of date or invitation for that one. And also, I've written to Jean-Jacques this morning and asked him how I'm aware about the 30th of September discussing the general outreach document with Adam Peake, but when do we have the meeting for preparing the Monday event?
Thank you, Klaus, really, for the transcript. Well, as far as I understood from the last communications, is that Jean-Jacques had to check in the schedule if the meeting space was scheduled, because that was one of the issues. The other point is the way we want to address this outreach event has already been put on mail with some structure,
yep,
by Jean-Jacques also, so that's no longer an issue. The only issue that I see is, do we have the slots, do we have the space, do we have the room, because that's important.
As far as I understand, we have the discussion is moving it to 1400 from 1630. But let's wait what Jean-Jacques comes back with.
Yeah, but anyway, we already agreed a little bit with Jean-Jacques during our talk we had with him that we would the
meeting direction.
1430, because that would allow us to have a better audience, as there is a gala on the Monday evening. That's one of the reasons why we try to push it at an earlier time. Okay, aside that, do we want to plan again some outreach activities like we try to do in Buenos Aires? I mean, we have been trying to walk around and see people and try to have some off-site talks, which I consider being very fruitful in Buenos Aires. Do we try to do the same again? Anybody?
Rudy, in addition to the Monday event, I don't think we have the capacity or time to do anything else. Of course, we have to do the outreach, talk to other groups and things like that. That has to happen all the time. And I just hope that in combination with the Monday event, we will be able to create a mailing list for Irish NGOs and non-profits we can get in contact with.
Okay.
That's my question. Someone that is able to gather the NGO community for Dublin?
I just heard the last few words. I think you were asking to see if we could have a list of potential NGOs that are coming to the ICANN Dublin meeting. That's where we are working on to try to get at least, so that we can, as soon as possible, send them a message and invite them to our constituency day and eventually on Monday on that specific event, reach out to NGOs.
No, I mean that we have someone there.
Sorry?
We have someone there. We have someone that is from Europe that is near the location that can help gathering locally.
From inside NPOC, no, but we have a very quite good friend at least it's a good friend of mine. It's Michele, and I will pull on Michele to see if he can help us reaching out to a few NGOs that maybe are customers of him, you never know, to get them in that meeting.
Also, Maria Farrell will be helping us getting in touch with Irish NGOs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but she is still at the other side as far as I understood. But we are working on it. It's in the plan. It was just a bit waiting for Jean-Jacques to get as the confirmation that we have the slot, because otherwise it doesn't make that much sense that we try to put a lot of NGO people or civil society people in Dublin, and they all go and join the NCAC and NCAG discussions. So it should be something that really is for us. I see Jones' hand. You have the floor, Jones.
Joan, for the record, with regard to the NGOs in Dublin, I'm wondering if, I haven't looked it up, but I'm wondering if there's an association of not-for-profits or even the Dublin Tourism that we can ask for the name that we can contact and have them invite the not-for-profits to the events. So it's a local person that's inviting them, and we're working with that person. That might be a way to get the NGOs to the meeting.
Thank you, Joan. Very good idea. And I know Mariam is not in Ireland, but she is closer to Ireland than I am. Maybe, Mariam, could we get some contact with local tourism or an NGO federation or whatsoever in Ireland? That could help us reaching out to NGOs?
Okay, Rudy, I'll take that on and let you know how I get along with that. I'll also consult with Adam Pick and see what we can do to get that moving.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect.
Okay, that's wonderful. Can we have a timeline for that, let's say, end of next week?
Let's make it 2 weeks so that we are sure we have all the information we need.
Then we are very short with contacting them. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I can do that for the end of next week and then revert any information I get to you.
Okay. Wonderful.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi.
Olivier, am I hearing you? It looks like I heard somebody, but okay. By the way, I was just thinking, I have two organizations here in Brussels that I will try to even try to reach out to them today or tomorrow by mail. I'm thinking about the International Chamber of Commerce. They have a quite large community that they can address, and among them are a lot of NGOs, especially in Belgium, I know, that 20% of the addresses they have are NGOs. So I will also try to get onto that one, and I will address the same question to my Belgian MEPs, because it's Europe, and try to figure out if an MEP in Dublin could be available for a discussion. You never know. Okay, so let's try to conclude this third point of the agenda. As I mentioned on the agenda, the NCAC meeting, issue, membership and elections, we already have been talking about during the second point of the agenda, so I'm not going to come back to this one. It all depends when Tapani is going to be seated, and maybe Mariam, can you clarify my mind? Is she going to take seat in Dublin or after Dublin?
Sorry, Rudy, repeat that. I didn't quite catch that.
Well, Tapani is going to be the new NCSG chair, except that I don't know if he is taking the seat at the beginning of the Dublin meeting or after the Dublin meeting?
I am not too sure about that myself, but I will check with Rafiq and then send you an email.
Yeah. Okay, perfect, because that's important. If he is leaving the NCSG meetings in Dublin, that changes our approaches a bit. Okay.
So just a quick one. So the timeline, the NCSG election timeline, says the 15th of October term begins. So that's assuming that Tapani takes over 15th of October. I don't know. But again, I'll check with them, Rafiq.
Yeah. Yeah, check if you can give us confirmation, because that will change a little bit our strategy of having the meetings with NCSG. Okay. So I think we can close this point, the plans of meetings in Dublin. If there is anything that pops up, please put it on the mailing list and we try to handle it on the mailing list. I would like to have a little bit of view on membership actions. As you have probably seen that a few have already used our website to enter their application. I think we have got in the past month something like 3 or 4 new applicants to our platform. I would like to see if John was able to get them into, because I didn't check the Google Doc stuff. Have you been able to enter them in the NCSG platform?
Yes, I have. I've entered all of them. I had 5. I've entered them into the NCSG platform, and I've sent it. Mm-hmm. And I believe that NCSG will have. Sorry about that. That's my phone. Meeting next week or in a couple of weeks. So yes, I did enter it, and a couple of other things have happened. Rafiq, myself, and Miriam have been going through the historic list and sort of comparing them and identifying who is current, who isn't, the balanced emails, all of that, those issues, and we're working on cleaning up both issues, and we're comparing the NCSG list with the MPOC list as well. So I'm hoping that in the next, between now and Dublin, we'll have a more robust list that is very current for both MPOC and for NCSG. So we've been doing that as well.
Thank you, John, really, for the transcript. That's quite important, because there has been, during the GNSO review party working group meeting, quite some discussions about the value of the members. That's one of the reasons why we need to make things quite clear from our side and with respect to our members also. At the other side, it still is not sending any message, and that's rather to Miriam that I'm talking. I never received one email from the platform, the NCSG platform, telling me that there was a new applicant. So this is still not working.
Okay, Rudy, thank you. I'll check that now as I speak, and then just make sure that nothing is broken. Thank you for letting me know.
Okay, thank you, Mariam. Because that's important that we could do really the follow-up, as we have seen that through our platform, we received 5 new applicants. It is clear that in the past, probably applicants failed to register for some reason, while we see that now we have new applicants. This is the proof that our outreach is working also. Joan, I see your hand up. You have the floor.
Dome for the Record. So as I'm going through the applications and seeing, by the way, I think it's a great idea, that a great thing that we've got 5 new members, and I think when we clear this all up, we'll end up having a lot more members, at least that you can actually start to communicate with members. A couple of things that I wanted to ask. The application for MPOC asks for country status, that they're actually an NGO. Where does that information go to, and who keeps that?
Okay, thank you, John. Well, ready for the transcript. In fact, that information is not stored at all, as far as I have seen in the past, and the actual sheet doesn't catch that information either. That's one of the reasons why we need to have this real discussion about the real validation of the membership, so that we are able to identify to whom we are talking. The next item that I see that we need to address in relation to potential members, myself, I've tried also to send individual mails, and that's probably also one of the results of getting more applicants, individual mails to organizations that I discovered on the web or that people talked about to me, and I've tried to figure out two or three names in that organization, try to figure out their email address, and I send them an individual message congratulating eventually with their organization and telling them that it is maybe important for them to be a member of MPOC. And I'm pointing them to the website. So that's a kind of campaign that I would like to see if we could, each of us, do by week, 4 or 5 per week, times 5, that's 25. If we get results out of that, we will have a lot more members very quickly. And at least we would have demonstrated, or we can demonstrate to ICANN, that we are doing outreach on individual basis with specific approaches, just to demonstrate that works. While when people are addressed to the NCSD page, which is an ICANN page, people seem to stay away from applying. Maybe that's also a perception. John, I see your hand up. You have the floor.
John, for the record, I think it's an excellent idea. We definitely need to increase our membership. And one cost I'd like to suggest is if we could, say, for example, divvy up the regions. You know, somebody is responsible for European NGOs, somebody North America or Canada and U.S., that sort of, you know, Latin America, that sort of thing, so that we can keep also keep track of it and see how effective someone has been. Just food for thought.
Thank you, Joan. That was indeed my idea. That's why I've been trying to tackle a few in Europe, but I've also seen, and I was told by some people when I was in Africa, hey, that could be interesting. They could be interested in being a member of MPOC. So I tried it out to see what is the result. But if we could do that on a weekly basis, then I think we will also be able to identify the issues to really address our community on an individual basis. I know that Klaus is doing this quite often, but I think we need to build a strategy and maybe have a template email that we all can use, something that the message that we are sending out is always the same. So maybe, Joan, if you could draft a mail for such an approach, that could maybe help us going faster. I see your hand up. You have the floor, John?
Yes, I think that's a really great idea that we all send out the same information. And I might add that it, when attaching them, also we have an attachment maybe promoting the Pathfinder webinar, or, you know, start to let them see that we are doing something, and point them and ask them questions, maybe a question about what is an issue, so that we can start to identify the issues and we're actually getting feedback from the community. Yes, I will construct the email, and if you guys think about what we can also add to it as well. So we're not just inviting them, we're offering some of our services to them as well.
Thank you, Joan. Very, very good idea. And I would have already noted that in maybe it's better not to attach, because spam filters are looking quite a lot to attachments. What I would prefer is that we put a link to the NPOC website, and what I would like to do is create a specific welcome page for interested members, so that they are ending up on a page where we try to summarize and identify elements that could be of interest of them. So also the activities that we schedule to do, and activities that are going on in region, in the region where they are. That could help them being more interested in what we do. Yes, John, you have the floor.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to say that I want to second that that idea. I guess what I was trying to say is that we have something that they can sort of put their teeth into. So I prefer a link anyway. But I will print the email and have it probably by Monday, and so we can start our campaign.
Thank you very much, John. I know that Sam has been doing a lot of things in that regard also. Maybe we will try to collect from different sources and try to put it together in such a way that we have the different ways of communicating. Because I know that, for instance, for Africa, they have another way of reaching out. And I would call on Olivier to help us also to identify the specific way of addressing the African region and African community of NGOs, as they have maybe another perception when they get a mail that looks a bit too commercial, you see what I mean. So let's try to work out. Maybe we need to have a message per region. I can eventually translate it in French, and Lois can certainly do it in German. Have one in Spanish and in Portuguese, so that Martin has the availability to send that out in their language. So what about that? Joan, I see you have your hand up.
Yes, I think that's a great idea. Obviously, people like to read their own language. But I was going to say something else before you said that, which is for myself, I was thinking of outreaching to India, for example. But I used to speak Hindi, but I honestly don't remember how to speak it. Only because we have Sam in Canada and Paul in the U.S., I thought, well, maybe I could outreach to, because I'm Indian, I'm also West Indian. So I would take on sort of that role, because just to divvy it up. So I won't say that I would translate into Hindi or anything like that, but I think it's a great idea for the translation. Now, who is going to oversee that? Because I would not be able to oversee the language translation.
Thank you, John. Well, we have some contacts with people in India too. There is Osama Mansar that I know very well. I can ask him to also eventually translate. We have also Casey, who is actually in the U.S., but he is from India. He could certainly help us too. I think that There are ways to get through that. That is not the real issue. If we could have a good message that we can send out, then we can do the translation and get it done in a way that we are addressing them in a very personal way. So, I don't know if there are any other ideas or comments or remarks with regards the membership. Anybody who wants to add something? If none, then I would move on to the fifth point of the agenda, the extension of the program committee. That is in fact complementary to our membership activities that we and outreach activities that we want to do. I have been talking in Buenos Aires to several people that were eventually interested in joining us and helping us. A few already sent me some emails and saying, hey, you told me about this, can I be of help? So what I would like to do is already I have a few names that I can drop into that nomination process. The program committee is something that we can fill up as we need to do. We don't need elections based on the charter. We don't need elections to fill up the regional representation in that committee. So if you know people that are willing to join in a region, the program committee, I think they will be very welcome, because that's the way we can extend our efforts, reaching out to members at a very local level. Is there any objection that we start doing this process and get these nominations activated so that eventually we could agree on a few names for a few regions in Dublin? That, I think, also would be a nice message that we could send out in Dublin to the ICANN community, especially to Fadi, to say, look, we are now actually going in the region at the lowest level and reaching out to those who we need to have. Do we, can I get acceptance for that approach?
I agree.
Okay, I have seen no objection from Martin. Sam, what do you think about that? Because that's something that could help your policy committee also to get more and closer to the issues. I don't know if Sam is still online. Looks like he's disconnected. Okay, so I see agreement. I will put I'm looking for an official way of getting this nomination done. I think we need to do it on the public list, not only on the executive committee list. So it would maybe also trigger others to join that program committee and then extend it. I'm counting on each of you for your region to join the program committee and to be a vice chair of each region. So, for instance, Olivier, for Africa, I would really like to see you being at least the vice chair of that program committee together with your colleagues in Africa, because that's the way you can also brief the executive committee on what's going on. Same for Martin, same for Joan, Klaus, Sam. So if we could stand aside them so to demonstrate that they are not just alone in a corner, that the executive committee is really helping them, I think that could help getting them really operational. Okay, so I'm coming to the end of the agenda, which is the any other business. I'm looking to everybody if there are any other business we need to take care of. Klaus, did you have any other points?
Yes, as you've seen in the last few days, there was a meeting discussing the outcomes of the Westlake report on the GNSO review, and there has been quite a heated and engaged debate about one specific item in particular, which basically the Westlake report says that every constituency should have automatic GNSO seats. If you read the recommendation 23 from the Westlake report, it really looks like that the Westlake people didn't understand the difference between NCSG and the GNSO. So basically, because what they meant was very positive and following our recommendation saying that NCUC should get a set number of seats on the GNSO and that NPOC should get a set number of seats on the GNSO. But what they're saying is that every seat on the GNSO, which of course is absolute. And as you will see, especially the people from the NCSG and CUC really.
Votre collection d'eau vous a mis en attente. Merci de patienter quelques instants. Votre collection d'eau vous a mis en attente. Merci de patienter quelques instants. Votre collection d'eau vous a mis en attente. Merci de patienter quelques instants. Votre collection d'eau vous a mis en attente. Merci de patienter quelques instants. Votre correspondant vous a mis en attente. Merci.
Okay.
Hello, can you hear me?
Okay, Klaus, go ahead. Yeah.
So my recommendation is that basically I would, things got a little bit nasty, especially in the direction of the NCUC. Things were that which people later regretted, and letters of apology were exchanged. So I think we should forget all this, and our comment, and I would like to comment to the group and to the discussion groups, really what I just described, that we fully support that that NPOC and NCUC each should have a seat on the GNSO, a set seat on the GNSO, but under no circumstances should that be extended through all SGs and Cs inside the GNSO. This is a very straightforward point, and we can take this further and use this now as an argument, because it's now used as a big argument against the legitimacy of NPOC. We could use and start arguing now what we already said, why we are different, why we need to be in different stakeholder groups and so on and so on. But I'm not sure about that. I just would simply make that reply. But also read the transcript if you can. I'm not sure if you are able. Especially read the chat exchange, which was really revealing in a lot of sense. And be prepared that there, besides other things in Dublin, there will be a very, very argumentative new topic, which can be, on the one side, be very dangerous to us, on the other hand, also be a big advantage. Thank you.
Thank you, Klaus. First, picking up the last part of your information. That's one of the reasons why I want to know if Tapani is the new chair from the beginning of the Dublin meeting, because it's his responsibility to push back eventually if there is such an approach done by NCUC. On the other side, I have been also reading Chuck Gomez comments, which are quite helpful too. By the way, I'm not yet convinced fully, but I think that Westlake did this on purpose. I mean that they are in fact giving a view of wrong presentation and of NCSD and GNSO. I think they did it on purpose because there are no other constituencies that don't have a seat in the GNSO Council. Every constituency has a seat except us. And I think that's where Westlake has tried to avoid that they were pointing out that it is only a question and discussion between NCUC and NPOC. By putting it in this sense, they open up the debate for others to approve. Yes, indeed, each constituency needs a seat. I think Westlake did it. It's part of their strategy to have support from all the others in the GNSO for this approach. That's the feeling that I have when I'm reading Chuck's comments too. I was not able to go through the whole recording, but that's what I think is one of the strategies. You were in the call, Klaus. Was it so specific that they expressed the confusion, or was it in a glitch?
Not to go into much detail, the presentation and everything what happened was in such a tone that at the end I don't think nothing made much sense, you know. And Westlake didn't present it in a way which was communicative, in the way that you could say they wanted to say what they had to say and leave it by that. And once they got at one point, and you know who it is, screamed to the sky, and everybody just tried to batten down Westlake. But that's not our problem. Listening to what you are saying, what should be the response from me or from us to Jack Jones' proposal? Because I think what we should say quite simply, we support in the case of NCUC and NPOC, we should have both GNSO seats, but not in general, because the big argument is that people can then start constituency, and Bill already suggested that NCUC should form 15 constituency by the end of Dublin.
Mm-hmm. Well, they can always try.
But the question is, how do you feel about it, and what is the best way for us forward? Because to be absolutely honest, even if you might be wonderful and right about what the intention of Westlake was, it went terribly, terribly wrong.
So that helps me, Klaus, because it looks like it was the same as what happened in Singapore. You remember when we had that meeting in Singapore, that they came into the room quite late, NCUC guys, and opposed to everything that Westlake was dropping on the table. You remember?
Yes.
So it was quite similar, which is great, because that illustrates that these guys are not professional. They are just there to argue. They don't want to be constructive. And in that sense, we should try now, and that's why I'm pointing to the document of Chuck. We should try to join Chuck and find alliance, not objecting and arguing about the fight between the two constituencies. No, that's an issue that is off the table here. It's about a decent and balanced representation of the work to be done in the policy world in the GNSO. And I think we can add to what Chuck has been highlighting in his comments a few items and add our vision on how we would like to see the future of the GNSO. Rather than saying the GNSO is bad or this is bad or that is bad, rather trying to point out that we are willing to elaborate a process that allows eventually new constituencies when they join the GNSO or when they join ICANN, and at the same time give direction in how to have a democratic and balanced representation when you have different constituencies popping up and joining the ICANN community. Is that not a good idea?
I have a text which I could read which might be helpful.
Yeah, go ahead now.
Okay. At the base of all this is that NPOC and NCUC are simply two constituencies that do not belong together and cannot be operated under one SG. NPOC is all about awareness and capacity building. It's internet literacy focusing on the DNS, no more, no less. It is not politically and political and and it is impact oriented. It is only interested to let the 99% of the people that live in the country called internet know that there is a government on how best utilize the services that country provides. NPOC is practical use of the DNS by nonprofits. NCUC is another step. Now you know how the government works, what it does, what it makes, how it makes a living, and how it gets involved. The next step is to raise your voice in the issues of the day. That is NCUC. Both need to inform each other because their functions are interdependent, but they need to be totally separate, their specific roles and functions respected by all involved. As it is, we are heading for the destruction of both groups if we don't get our house in order soonest. It might be too late already to list the grievances between the groups that have become so large that only an all-out war seems to be a possible solution. This basically, except the last sentence, I would use this text and say, yes, we support what they're saying, but we need a separation and we need separate seats from NCUC and NPOC because we are two completely different constituencies and stakeholders.
Thank you, Klaus. I have another approach on this because what you're highlighting again is the big fight and the big war between the two of them. And I would just avoid that and try to be positive and say, look, we are the youngest constituency. We know how difficult it is to raise a voice inside ICANN, and we are willing to help ICANN in better receiving newcomers in the ICANN community. If there are members or constituency or stakeholder groups, we are willing to help because we have identified several issues that don't allow a newcomer to have a balanced and democratic position in ICANN and in the GNSO, to be specific. I would rather go in that direction, Claude, than highlighting again the difference between the two. Everybody knows the differences inside ICANN, the difference between the two. And they know that there are big criers, baby criers, and there are people that are willing to do something. That is known inside and the GNSO.
Rudy, I completely agree with you, but what changed 2 days ago is that after a year of truth, war has officially been declared again. What has been said and what's been said in the meeting and what has been said in the chat against NPOC is all-out declaration of war.
Well, I agree, Klaus, except that that declaration and these messages were coming only from that community. Nobody else in the GNSO is saying this. Nobody else. So we have a lot of alliance if we try to avoid to go against that war. I would just avoid that war. I just remember the message from the ombudsman, both of them, saying, try to avoid the war, and that's also the message that Fadi was telling me, try to avoid the war, demonstrate that you're able and that you have the capacity to build and to demonstrate the value that you have, and then everybody will recognize and will just vote against what they bring to the table. That's a bit the approach that I'm trying to repeat, as that was a message that I got from Fadi and from Steve Crocker a year ago, too. I see Joan's hand. Joan, you have the floor.
My opinion is that we focus on what we're doing, strengthen it, and start to promote our message. That if we start to get into a titter-tatter and a war, it's going to take us away, and our energies are going to be burnt up, and no one will win, definitely won't win. I think what we need to do is really get our message out there. So in a way, it is actually fighting the war, but just not fighting them. We are actually promoting what we're doing and getting support from the community just because we're being positive and this is what we're doing and we're adding value and all of those things. I think that's a better strategy.
Okay, I completely agree with all of you. And but just to make long things short, Rudy, would it be then best if you reply to the Chuck email?
Yeah, well, what I will do is first put it on our mailing list, what I would send to him, and we agree on that text, and we correct where needed and comment where needed. Because, as I said, we have a lot of friends in the GNSO. We need to use them. And if we are doing just the same as they do, as NCOC guys are doing, they will not join us. Don't forget that we have even Ron Andruf, who came to me in Buenos Aires saying, hey, you have to raise your voice with regards to NOMCOM, and so on. So even inside NCSG now, with the new leadership coming up, we will have quite a lot of strong positioning that could push back on what they want to do. And before a constituency is accepted inside the ICANN and GNSO, it takes at least a year and a half. So we have the time, and by the fact that, as they pronounced, that they want to raise new constituencies, let us put our community forward and say, look, we did it. We built this. It's still young. We're still in the process of growing and become a real mature structure. If somebody else wants to do, we can help them. We have the experience. We have the expertise even. That's rather the message that I would like to send, to demonstrate and fill in also one of the recommendations, or a few recommendations that Westlake is dropping on the plate, that there needs to be a better way of accepting and helping new constituencies or new groups that want to raise their voice. We are in the perfect position to help them. That's
okay.
That's the philosophy, the strategies I want to put.
Also, there is a next meeting of the GNSO Review Working Party is scheduled for Monday, the 21st of September, 2015, at 1600 UTC. I don't want to be there alone.
Well, I will be there. I unfortunately, this week was just more than crazy for me. I slept only 6 hours in total till today, so you can imagine. I don't want to repeat that week.
I also encourage John, and I also encourage them, if they have time, come in there. That meeting is open.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Martin, your intelligence is more than welcome in that meeting.
Especially your lawyer's approach is going to be quite in interesting. But I'm close to conclude on this issue of the review. I'm quite happy with the outcome of the actual report and the recommendations, as Westlake is picking up again without us pushing them. They picked up again the issue. And that's great. I didn't expect that happening again. You agree, Klaus, that was a little bit a surprise that they came up with this again?
Yes, but we have to be aware there are very good parts and extremely bad parts in that report. And basically there are areas you can drive open wagon through. The report in general, if you would scale it from a 1 to 10, it's a maximum 3. And it's very questionable, the outcome of the whole thing. Yes, it looks positive to us. But on the other hand, the report itself is so badly received by being treated positively by Westlake makes us in some quarters actually look bad.
Mm. But in fact, I have to agree, the report itself is useless.
Yeah.
You cannot deploy that on the GNSO at all. It doesn't work. But anyway...
Sending the invitation for the meeting on Monday on the GNSO to the XCOM.
I will send the mail out after this call immediately.
No, I just did
okay,
it.
Perfect. So, any other business we need to tackle? I think we handled quite a lot of interesting stuff. We have a lot of action items and plans to execute. Yes, John, you have the floor. I see your hand up.
I just wanted to follow up on the issue of my hotel room. Did ICANN agree to allocate that money to us and possibly to use it?
No, John, not at all. There is no information coming back from the travel constituency. If we don't use it, the money itself cannot be reused. That's quite simple. That's a question that I already asked. If you don't pick up your accommodation or your facilities, they are gone. Oh, by the way, before I forget, because we are already 13 days late, do we want to have things printed out again for Dublin? Because there, I'm very sorry, I've seen that mail just flying through my spam, and that's the reason why I was not able to act on that. That's something also that I have to talk about with Mariam. There are some issues. Some mails are just going straight to the spam. So I don't know why. Some mails, and especially this one, arrived in my spam box. Yeah, I know. It was asked to give the final commitment the 5th of September, but I didn't get the mail anymore. So that's the reason why I lost that one. I still have some flyers we had in Buenos Aires, and I think you maybe have some also. If you bring them to Dublin, we can use them over there. But I think that the flyer itself is not really helping us getting members. We need to go outside. Those who are not things, that are those that we need to get in our community. That are the people we need to try to reach out to, as I explained in the membership campaign action. If we can do it by individual approaches to a few every week, I'm convinced that we can increase our membership with 100% for next year, June. Okay, so if there is no other business, anybody?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. Well, in that case, I think we can end our call, our meeting here. We can adjourn, and that's, just 2 minutes over time, which is great. Another question. Do we schedule another meeting before Dublin? I would say yes, but I'm asking you, should that be in 2 weeks from now?
That's okay with me. I think it's a good date.
How about the others?
I think from the tactical point of view, yes, please.
Yeah, okay. So we'll try to have it on the Friday again. In 2 weeks, that means, let me look into the agenda. If it's going to open, that's 1 week. That's the second week. That would be the second. There is the NCSG Executive Committee meeting scheduled at 15 UTC.
I can't participate on the second. On the first, I'm flying, and on the second, I'm traveling.
You're traveling on the second?
Yes.
So you're not available on the second?
Right at 12 o'clock at the airport, and I have 4 hours train rides to get where I need to go.
Okay. So next proposal is Monday, the 5th of October, so that we still have some time before Dublin. Monday, the 5th of October, is that okay? Same time as today, means 17 UTC.
That's okay with me.
Okay, John is okay too. Martin? Does that work for you?
It's okay.
Okay, Olivier? The 5th, is that okay for you, Monday? Okay. Well, Sam is not online anymore, but I think he will be able to join too. I would like to thank you all for this very collaborative session. As I said, we were able to handle a lot of stuff, and we have a lot of actions in front of us. So I would like to wish you all a good weekend. Enjoy the weekend. Take profit of good time. Sorry, Mariam. It's 16 UTC. I'm sorry. It's my fault. So, but not on the Friday, on the Monday. Monday, 5th of October at 16 UTC. So, enjoy the weekend and let's see you and read on the mails.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye.